You're listening to the Overeaters Anonymous Mid-Peninsula podcast. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. For more information, please visit oamidpeninsula.org.
Okay. Hi, I'm Molly. I'm a compulsive eater. I have not been around as long as most of you in Overeaters Anonymous, but I will share anyway, because Sandy asked me to. I had a few OA meetings a long time ago, and I may get to that later, but coming in almost a year ago now. It was March, sometime in the middle of March. I don't have the date memorized yet. When I went to my first OA meeting, and I was actually doing a little bit of writing this morning. In my normal morning writing, I wrote a little bit about what I should talk about my story and about step two. And I can't even remember why I said that now. Oh, yes. So at my first meeting, I definitely felt hope. Also felt, I had that feeling. So I joined my first 12-step program in 1987 and was actually sober for a long, long time. And I was thinking, I sort of look at that now as just my long period of abstinence where I didn't have a food plan. My food plan was only don't drink alcohol. And I was good at that food plan, but it was not addressing any other foods. And so it was really just a long slip, because I knew from that moment that I learned about addiction and 12-step programs that I needed this for food too. But I had a long period that over 30 years of not being willing. So that's the beginning of my story. The thing that, in terms of hitting my bottom to decide to come to OA and have this wonderful sense of hope and also a lot of fear and trepidation. And I didn't believe that a higher power could restore me to sanity. I don't think I would have described it that way. I didn't know if I could do step one. I didn't know if I could allow God to do that. I didn't feel like I could, but I had some hope for the first time ever, I would say, that maybe I could, because I saw that you guys could. And that I was super excited and started going to a lot of meetings and got into service pretty quick. And that was all awesome. What was going on with me that made me willing to go finally to that meeting was mostly health-related issues. Way back in 2010, I found out that I was diabetic, type 2. And I was looking today in preparation. I just looked over my numbers over all those years. First of all, there were many years I didn't even go to the doctor to get my A1C. And when I did, it just kept going up and up. And I really didn't do anything about it until 2017. So for 7 years, I pretty much was just in denial and ate tons of sugar and large quantities of food during most of that time. There was some time that I didn't, but that was only because my husband was doing something with his food that I followed. And then in 2017, I did come across a way of eating that helped me a lot. And my numbers got much lower than they had been. And that was going very well. And I tend to blame COVID, but when I was looking at the data, it really started happening before I was adding foods in that were not on my plan, and you know, it would be like popcorn at the movies was probably the first thing. And well, I'll only eat popcorn at the movies, right? That was the thing. And by the time I came to my first OA meeting, I was buying dozens of donuts, and supposedly I was off sugar. Like in my mind, I didn't eat sugar, and yet I could buy sugar and eat it. I can't really explain that, but I'm sure that many of you can understand that. So all of my doctor's appointments in the beginning of that year, or the end of the end of 2022, I got a bad result on my diabetic retinopathy and had to go back. And they told me that, oh yeah, you're developing a cataract, but that's normal. Like, okay. I had all my things, my pap smear thing came back. Well, you got to come back and check it again. It's not serious, but you got to come back. It was all these little things. And I'm like, you know what? I'm only 60. I was 62 at that time. And I just hit bottom. Took me a few months to actually get to a meeting though, but I did. So I was pretty motivated right away. And in terms of step two, I had in many areas of my life, turn my will, my life over to a higher power that had changed many times over the years. But I was thinking about like, well, what will I say about step two in OA since I've been here? And one thing that struck me very strongly this morning is that I couldn't do step two about food because I had not done step one. And I had to do step one before I could believe that something could restore me to sanity, because I had to, fully concede to my innermost self that I was a compulsive eater and I couldn't handle it. Couldn't handle deciding and eating the foods that were good for me. I couldn't do that. I thought I could, you know, I had many tries over many years. But I finally, once I started going to meetings and listening, getting the literature, getting a sponsor, I'm working the steps in the book thing, this thing, and other ways with my sponsor. And listening to people was a big part of it for me too. And I learned that, I had some hope that maybe I could, maybe God would. I know God could and would if they were sought in almost every area of my life. And now that I have realized finally that God can and will have sought about food, it's really opened up all other areas. That was the other thing that was going on with me, is I was way more anxious and fearful than I wanted to be. You know, I kind of had developed high standards over many years of working the 12 steps of how I did not want to be anxious and fearful, and I was, and things were just going wrong. Relationships were going wrong. So many things were going wrong. It wasn't like I was reading in the book today. Not all of us get to suicidal depression before we get here. And fortunately I did not, but I was in a place where I couldn't stand to live the way I was living. And thank God I just ended up getting into the program of Overeaters Anonymous. And so once I did get past step one, I was ready, you know, came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. It was definitely for me acting as if at first. I didn't really believe it, but I was willing to believe it. I didn't have a problem with the word sanity. A lot of people are like, I'm not insane. Well, I have never really felt myself to have stellarly good mental health. So any time in my life from as far back as I can remember, I always thought there was something wrong with me, you know, so I didn't have a problem with that. And I don't know really why I didn't believe that in that area of life. Well, no, I do know why. I already said it. I just wasn't willing. It wasn't that I didn't believe. I believed that God could do anything. that I was willing to let go of, and I was not willing to let go. So what else did I think of this morning? Oh, so I just want to mention real quick, like the writing that I do, I learned here in Overeaters Anonymous, and it's writing to God, what is it called? Two-way prayer. I heard about it at a meeting, and I even went to a workshop about it when I was at the OA birthday convention thing a couple months ago, whatever that was. And I'm very grateful for that. And oh yeah, I wrote down, I'd spent my whole life either under eating or overeating, feeling like I was in control of my eating, whether I was dieting or eating whatever I wanted, which is to me now, that's such a funny expression. I mean, I wanted to eat stuff that was killing me. That's not what I really wanted, you know? So that it always just makes me laugh now that so many years, I can eat whatever I want. God will cure me of diabetes and I can eat whatever I want. Those are the things that I would say. But like that gave me an illusion of control. And I did feel that I had control. And that's one of the things that made it hard for me to give it up.
That's 10 minutes.
Oh, thank you. And I think, overwhelming urge to use. Oh, yeah. Somebody said something in a meeting recently that I was at, and the thought came into my, they were talking about something about, I think they were talking about something that was, they were having a hard time with and that they didn't eat over it. And the idea that popped into my mind was that food is not a tool. I mean, food was a tool for me before I started working the steps in Overeaters Anonymous. And it probably helped me not drink for many years. And I'm grateful for that, but it's not a tool that I can use. It seems like a tool that's going to bring me peace and serenity. I always thought it would, you know, and for momentary times it would, or at least thinking about doing it would bring me peace and serenity and happiness, and doing it wouldn't necessarily work by the time, you know, at the end, but at least I thought it would work. Maybe it'll work this time. And instead, I have got a lot of the things I wanted already in just a few months in terms of much less anxiety. I knew I was going to cry at some point. For the first time ever, I actually want closer relationships with people. I never wanted that. I just did that because it would get me something. You know, whether it would get me sobriety or friends or, you know, please my mother. She wants me to have friends, so I will have friends. Growing up, she was very strict about that. So like, but just recently, just I would say maybe 2 months ago, it came out in my writing, like, I want to get closer to people. And my inner barriers to that are gone. My thinking has changed. Many of my sort of judgmental against myself and others thoughts are just gone without me specifically doing anything. I'm working step 6 right now. So it does have to do with that. And having done 4 and 5, I realize, but it's not like I prayed to want to get closer to people, because I didn't want to get closer to people. I did not. Too much already, you know, now I'm in 2 freaking programs. But instead, it just happened. And now it's a goal of mine. And so I take actions. I guess I'll finish up by just talking about my morning. What a morning, you know. So I did my writing, you know, and so I was thinking a lot about my story and things and what I might say here. I worked for an hour on my homework that I'm doing for this computer class I'm taking. And then I thought, I'm not even remembering the exact order of things, but at some point I got some text, and then I got a phone call, and I always push the little button that sends it to voicemail. It's a feature that I learned how to use recently. And it was somebody talking about FA, Food Anonymous. and they wanted help, you know, and I tried to pick up, but they hung up when I picked up. And so I texted it. I don't know, it was a young man's voice. And I thought, how did this guy get my number? I was a little scared. So I just texted, and I texted the link for OA, but he called back. And I was able to give him some information. And he lived in Castro Valley. He's going to go to San Leandro Noon. I don't know if he'll go or not, but he said he could. And I gave him the info. And that was like amazing. That was amazing. And then that sort of gave me the strength to make some phone calls to look for speakers for the meeting that I get speakers for. And that was a little tricky because it was one of those things where, you know, you have to say something to them and then they let you in or not. But I just did it. I'm still a little afraid of making phone calls, but I did it. And it was just all, and last night too, I had a 2-hour conversation with a friend in another program. She's pretty new, about everything. And it's just been, Thana knows that, because I've been talking with her about this homework that I have is a little stressful for me for many reasons. And today when I worked on it for an hour, it just flew by because it was not, oh, I can't do anything else. I can't do any program work. I can't make any phone calls. I can't do anything else until I buckle down and do this homework, which, you know, as you can imagine, just means a lot of nothing was getting done. And instead, about a week ago, I decided, you know what, I'm not going to give up on the homework, but let me do all the things that make me happy, that make me abstinent, that make me stay in this program and make my life good. And so I've been focusing on that. And today, yes, last night and through today, it was just like all about talking to people and getting closer to people. It's like, it feels miraculous to me. And I can't imagine ever leaving Overeaters Anonymous, ever not doing service in Overeaters Anonymous. I'm not going to give up my other program, but it's a little bit back burner for me now because OA is the thing that makes me, you know, able to live. I don't want to drink again. Let's be real. I don't. But it doesn't scare me as much, in all honesty. Don't tell my AA friends. In all honesty, it doesn't scare me as much as the idea of giving up OA and recovery. Whether I have a slip and lose my abstinence and have to come back or not, I do feel very strongly that I will always be able to come back because it is really saved my life. I think that's it for me. I'll stop there. Thank you.
If you've enjoyed listening to the Overeaters Anonymous podcast, hit the like button and subscribe to receive future episodes. If you are looking for a meeting online or in person, visit www.oamidpeninsula.org.